Today's Committee on Regional Affairs hearing. With me today is Senator Menard, Senator Ellis, and myself, Senator Olson. On today's agenda, we will consider Senate Bill 223, the tax credit, Senate Bill 131, Community and Transportation Advisory Board, Senate Bill 157, which is cancel insurance on certain vacant properties. First, we'll hear from Senate Bill 223. We heard this bill on March 15th. It's my intent to introduce this committee substitute and set the bill aside for further review. David Scott will introduce the CS. Will not have any testimony today and bring it back up on Thursday. Mr. Scott, please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Scott, staff to the CNRA committee. The version of the CS for SB 223 is version D. We made five changes to the original bill. They are: on page 2, line 15, we added a five-year sunset. On page 1, line 9, we added the eligible organizations must be established before January 1st, 2012. The intent of that change, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, is so that it's the intent of the bill to help shore up the existing nonprofit organizations that are out there providing these human services, not to start new ones, not so they start sprouting up everywhere. On page 2, line 1, we removed, in the prior version, it was a dollar-for-dollar match. What we did is we removed it. We added language so that they get 50% of, if they give, if an organization or a corporation donated $100,000, they would get a $50,000 credit. So it's a little bit easier on the Treasury. It's not a dollar-for-dollar for match. Now, on page 2, line 3, we added some departmental procedure language so that they could be like pre-approval language for the department. I also passed out to the committee members, Mr. Chairman, the past two revenue source book sections regarding tax credits, one for FY11 and for FY 2010. It's the reports on the tax credits. All the tax credits are offered by the state. With that, Mr. Chairman, I can answer any questions from the committee or you soldier on.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Scott? Well, one of the questions I do have right off the bat is why was it sent out for dollar to 50 cents on the dollar?
Mr. Chairman, we had talked with the tax division over our revenue, and we looked at other credits that are similar to this, and they were not dollar for dollar. They were a portion of that. And so we thought to conform with our other tax credit programs that we should do, just make the change.
Will there be the same interest, as far as you know, in the private sector participating with this reduction in tax credit?
Mr. Chairman, you know, if the bill becomes law, only time will tell. I haven't had any. Nobody's come forward and said anything to me. So.
Okay. Any other questions by members of the committee for Mr. Scott? No, thank you very much for coming by this afternoon. Next, we have House Bill 131, first heard on March 22nd. Bill Spots, want to come up and say a few words related to that? We'll open up for public testimony and then comments by the sponsor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 131 creates the Community Transportation and Advisory Board, which will assist in the development of recommendations for existing programs of state, local and federal transportation, community transportation programs and services. Public and community transportation is integral in connecting communities, supporting development, and serving our most vulnerable citizens. The designation of this board is a recommendation from the Governor's Coordinated Task Force, which was released, the board released recommendations in February of 2010. The board will continue efforts to address public and community transportation and help fill gaps in transportation for individuals who require more specialized travel, senior citizens, low-income individuals, persons with disabilities, and those who are transit dependent. HB 131 has the support from the Alaska Mobility Coalition, the Governor's Council on Disabilities, the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, the Alaska Commission on Aging, and many other organizations. I appreciate you hearing the bill again today and encourage you to take action on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions by members of the committee for the bill's sponsor? Senator Menard.
Yeah, we have a letter of intent. Did you want to speak to that? Or?
We, let's see, do you have a copy of the letter?
I have a copy.
I'm sure they want to do this. I think they do. Check with the chairman of the ask. It's right here.
Oh, there it is.
Ask
sorry.
If they want to move forward that
way. Senator Menard, through the chair, yes, we were following the conversation, the discussion at the last meeting, and Senator Wagner was concerned with the issue of, you know, the commissioner serving on the board. The commissioners are very busy, and was concerned that, you know, this would yet be another commitment to serve on yet another board. And he wanted to insert language that would ensure that a designee would be appointed. Well, the language is in the current bill. We have readied the language of intent, but it was my understanding that you did not want to include that language.
At least not at this point.
Yeah,
Senator Wagner.
I'm not going to include that language.
Okay.
With the bill.
Okay. Follow up, Senator Menard?
No, that's all. I just wanted to put it down the record.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll open it now up for public testimony.
Thank you.
Anybody in the room want to go ahead and testify? If not, we don't have anybody who wants to go ahead and testify. Any more discussion by members of the committee?
You would.
Any more discussion by members of the committee on this bill? Pat, what's the will of the committee? Senator Wagner.
I'd move House Bill 131. Backslash A is the one we're dealing with, I believe, with attached fiscal note to next committee of referral.
An individual recommendation. Okay. Any objection to passing this bill out of committee? Not passed out of committee. We're taking at ease while we sign the bill. Back on the record, next we're going to hear Senate Bill 157. We first heard this bill on on March 13th. We'll open it up for public testimony this afternoon, have a discussion by the committee. And with that, do we have a bill sponsor? Want to go ahead and say a few comments on it?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Dana Owen, aide to Senator Egan and staff to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. You may recall from the time we heard this bill before that that the version of the bill you have before you represents something of a compromise. The original proposal was to establish in law the ability for insurance companies to cancel insurance policies in midterm on homes that were unoccupied or vacant. And in discussions with the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee members, it was clear that there was a great deal of opposition to the idea of being able to cancel policies on unoccupied dwellings because so many Alaskans leave their homes for long periods of time. As a result, you have before you a bill which instead leaves in the provision of vacancy and then defines vacancy.
Thank you. Do we have any questions by the bill sponsor by members of the committee? Senator Menard.
Mr. Chairman, I do struggle with this bill because I think the reason it's come before us is what's happened in the lower 48. We haven't experienced as many vacancies and people walking away from their homes. And so it just causes me to pause and ask a whole bunch of questions relating to this bill, and we did deal with it in labor and commerce, and we've hit on some, how do we define vacancy? That means appliances, everything that's out of the house, but then still I'm still uncomfortable with this bill before me. So I'm just going to listen to the other committee members' comments today. I just feel, you know, down the road 5 years if we're in big doo-doo with, you know, foreclosures and, but I struggle with this. I think as do the Realtors Committee. I've heard from them. They've been in town today, and so I'd like to hear from other committee members if they want to speak to that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Menard, we also have heard from realtors, and we are actively engaging in discussions with them about possible ways to amend the bill. And I, too, am eager to hear their testimony.
Any further questions, Senator Wagner?
No.
Now we'll go to public testimony. First we have a Glenda Feakin. Ms. Feakin, would you please come up and identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony?
I'm Glenda Feakin, REMAX the Peninsula from the Kenai, and I'm here with the Alaska Association of Realtors. We understand and support business, but we do not support SB 157. We feel it is not in the best interest of the public in its current form. We need changes and clarification, and being from the Kenai, I have already experienced cancellation of policies for my people when houses are vacant. And they're not abandoned, they're not in foreclosure, but the policies are being canceled, and this is a great hardship for the public, both emotionally and financially, and I just can't see this being in the best interest of the public.
And you're speaking on behalf of the Alaska Association
of
Realtors?
Yes, I am.
Any questions of members of the committee? Senator Menard.
Do you see this as a direct problem with the previous, the owners, the house is empty because the previous owners are waiting for it to close?
Actually, sometimes people need to move before a house sells. They're not abandoning the property. They've made arrangements for people to check it. Maybe they've winterized it. It's not because it's abandoned. You know, it's being cared for. But, you know, in the view of the insurance company that drove by, there's nobody there, and they've canceled the policy, and this is emotionally devastating. They don't have the resources to fight it. Then the banks go in and impose their insurance, and that's much more costly, so it's a real financial burden. So it's
Bottom, Senator Menard.
Yes. Here's where my sympathy does lie. When, especially Alaska and the horrific weather we have, sometimes it is abandoned, and things like broken pipes happen in the winter, and then the insurance are left to pay up on that. So I do have sympathy in that area. I can follow down that track.
I think we can all follow down that track, but I think we have very few foreclosures, and usually there's huge red flags telegraphing the financial institution that, you know, the payments aren't being made. And I think a lot of times you're seeing them step in early on and turn those utilities and stuff over in their name. So there's, you know, there's big notice that these are becoming problems.
Senator Menard, you want to finish your train of thought? I think you were interrupted. So please go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate that. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Senator Wagner?
Well, it started out to be one of those simple little bills.
Yes, exactly.
Any recommendation how to fix it?
I think there needs to be discussion, and I'm not the expert on this, but I think there needs to be discussion, you know, with our organization and others in the know. You know, what is vacant and what is abandoned? You know, what is unoccupied? What's vacant? I think there's some really crucial things that need to be ironed out, because I think there's some really unattended consequences that can come down. Things we're not even foreseeing when we do this. We are not a state that is suffering from a large number of foreclosures. We just do not have the issue they had in the lower 48.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have severe weather, but we just don't have things that cause this.
So you're saying that you need a better definition of vacancy?
We just need, and I'm going to let the gentleman behind me, they're probably better to speak to this better. You know, what is a vacant property and what is one that has been abandoned? What determines that?
Sure. Any further questions?
Yeah.
Any further questions of members of the committee to speak? Not? Let me call Linda Hall up to ask some questions, please.
She's retired.
No, she is. She's right there.
Oh, okay. I'm here.
She was hiding behind the wall.
Ms. Hall, thank you for being available for questions and chair of the Division of Insurance. As we look at this question, the question that just came up from the previous testifier is, does the state indeed have a definition for vacant versus abandoned?
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Linda Hall, Director of the Division of Insurance. No, up until this bill was proposed, we have not had a definition of vacant. From the research I've done, most states don't define vacant. I had a staff member do some research of some other state laws, and we didn't come up with much of anything other than some case law about vacancies, but nothing. This would probably be one of the more stringent definitions, because it does have some requirements of what is vacant. So it would be more stringent than, you know, many other state laws that allow some cancellation for vacancy.
Do we have a definition for abandonment?
No.
Senator Wagner.
Is there a real problem in the state of Alaska currently that this would address? Or maybe this is a single or issue? Or what's just I'm trying to figure out, since we don't have many foreclosures, and we don't have the vacancy rate other places have. What's the reason this come forward this time?
Ms. Hall?
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, the bill was not something I proposed.
Thank you.
So I think you would need to hear from the people that actually proposed the bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any further questions, Ms. Hall, by members of the committee? Not. Thank you very much for coming this afternoon. Next, we have
one more question.
Senator Wagner.
Do you feel at this time this bill is necessary?
I have, through the chair, Senator Wagner, I have indicated that I could support the bill. I think there's a balance that's kind of been spoken to in some of the previous comments, and our role is to try to balance the protection of consumers with the healthy competitive marketplace and the needs of insurers. And that's a fine line that we do that balancing, and I think there there is some need at times for an insurance company to be able to cancel a policy beyond the things that are in our current statute. If a house is what I guess I would say, and I perceive a definition of vacant, and through this definition, if that is abused, and that's what we do, we interpret statute, we enforce statute. If an insurance company is canceling for something that doesn't meet the definitions in our statute, we have the authority to take action. We have this is probably more answer than you ever wanted. We have four consumer services people. That's all they do, is take consumer complaints. They intervene with consumers who have, normally their calls are complaints about claim settlement. And we involve ourselves in making sure these statutes and regulations are enforced. So I think that's a role we would play if there were some, what I would call maybe misunderstanding, misapplication of a statute.
Follow-up, Senator Linder?
No.
I have a question. Obviously, there is a finite number of people that don't have to go and get a mortgage to buy a house. So most people have mortgages on their house. Would it be possible if the insurance company would document, okay, there's like this month, there's nobody there, in my view, this house is vacant and I want to drop that. Can they communicate with the bank, the mortgage companies, to check on, have they not paid their mortgage for a couple months? I'm just brainstorming here, guys. Stay with me. And then that would be an avenue for them to take, and then they could, because if their mortgage hasn't been paid, surely they probably are on the exit mode. I have difficulty, so I don't want to leave any rock unturned here, so you can help me.
Do you understand the question?
Yes, I think so, Mr. Chairman. Okay. So through the chair, Senator Menard, I don't know. I would guess that privacy laws would probably not allow a bank to give out that kind of information. Mm-hmm. I don't know that for sure.
That should be the law we should be making, that banks can give out the information to insurance companies after 3 months of documented suspicion that they're not there. I don't know. I'm just not happy with the bill.
Thank you for coming up this afternoon.
Thank you.
Next we have Errol Champion. Mr. Champion, are you here, sir? Please identify yourself for the record and go with your testimony.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Members of the committee, my name is Errol Champion, and I live in Juneau. I am president of the Southeast Alaska Board of Realtors, but also a member of the Alaska Association of Realtors and a director. Previous testimonies caused me to somewhat want to reorganize my comments, but what I want to share with you is I think one reason why this bill needs more work and needs more attention. I started doing work on this after I testified on it 3 weeks ago, and I have spoken with the largest insurance broker in Snohomish County, which is Everett, north of Seattle. He says that he's not aware of the state of Washington having a similar bill that allows insurance companies to provide, but he said our insurance that we write, we attach riders, just like any insurance coverage, that says if the home becomes vacant, and they're very precise in their definition, then we can forfeit the policy in terms of the coverage. And they do it with a rider. They don't have to have a law. It's no different than putting a rider on that you're my teenager is not going to drive our car and have coverage. He looked at this bill, and he felt we really were woefully short of the right definition for vacant versus abandoned, which is unoccupied, and we need to do some work on that. I'm concerned that my understanding of every insurance policy I've seen where there's a mortgage involved is the holder of the mortgage or the investor is the loss payee.
Yeah.
And why would they not be singled out to be notified? Because if you're really talking about a foreclosure situation, that person probably doesn't care whether he gets a notice of cancellation anyway. The real loser in this is the investor that owns that mortgage. And if we're not going to try and correct that, as we know, most mortgages are owned by Freddie and Fannie, which is the public entity. And so it's the public that winds up losing on this if there's no insurance coverage. I personally have a situation where an elderly lady passed away. I represent the estate. There hasn't been a mortgage on the home in 40 years. It's unoccupied. It's winterized. But if this was in effect, someone could decide, and we don't have a very good definition of how that someone's going to decide, that there's no insurance on that, and the estate could lose everything. So, I mean, it probably would not be notified. I'm just concerned that we haven't been able to do the right kind of research. Let me tell you, the realtors of our state want to work and try and do what's the right thing, but we're going too fast, and this is definitely in need of some more work and some more definition so that we can bring a good law forward that not only protects the residents of the state but also protects the investment in real property. So that's my testimony today, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Any questions, Mr. Champion, by members of the committee?
No.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you.
Next, we have Davis Simo.
David Summers.
Summers.
The person with not the best handwriting, evidently.
Identify yourself for the record. Go ahead and put it.
For the record, I'm David Summers. I'm the Industry Issues Chairman for the Alaska Association of Realtors, and I reside in Fairbanks. And to not repeat too much here today, I don't want to go over what was just said. I can certainly tell you that as a representative of the Alaska Association of Realtors, both testimony of Ms. Feakin and Mr. Champion are spot on, and we're in total agreement with that. We care about business, and we applaud what happened in the previous committee trying to find a balance between business and the protection of the public, but we don't feel it's quite there yet. And I don't want to read all these position papers, but I don't want to miss a couple of these examples that I have in this position paper on, and we feel of the people that we think are at risk. But we're concerned for the homeowner who needs to relocate while their house is being marketed, the homeowner who moves out of the home because it is scheduled to close but the sale falls through, the members of our armed services who are relocated must leave their house vacant while trying to rent or sell, the owner who is renting and is between tenants, the estate when the executor cleans out the family home, makes it ready to go to market. In all these examples, it'd be very easy to determine by an insurance carrier that it's been vacated based on what we saw here today. So rather than go into a lot of details here and reread what everybody else has said, I concur with what they said. Please protect the public in this issue, and please let it be known that we want to work with the industry to find a way to make it work to make sure that the business is protected, the insurance business is protected, as well as the public. Thank you very much. That concludes my testimony.
Any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Summers? If not, I've got a couple questions. It's obviously the realtors are against the bill. Are there any other entities that are for the bill besides?
Well, the insurance businesses. I haven't heard from anybody else that is in support of the bill. No.
Okay. And the title companies, where are they coming out on this bill?
I believe they're neutral. I don't think they took a position.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Summers.
You're welcome.
Next, we have Sheldon Winters. Mr. Winters, identify yourself for the record and go to the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sheldon Winters. I'm a lobbyist for State Farm. You gave me the opportunity last hearing to try to answer some questions, and I'd like to respond to some of the testimony today as best I can. State Farm is the largest insurer of homes in Alaska and in the country. We've worked really hard on this bill. We've worked with the Division of Insurance. We've gone through our underwriting department, through the industry. We have come up with a definition which is the narrowest definition in the country. It's not, to address a point that Senator Menard made, it's not so much that we are having high foreclosure rates in Alaska. The issue is this. When you keep uninsurable property in your risk pool, we all pay. That increases all of our premiums and makes insurance more expensive and less available to all of us. And that's what we're trying to do here. Now, one of the speakers just indicated earlier that I think Snohomish, somebody indicated that you can add a rider and cancel the policy and you don't need a law to do that. That is why we're here, because we were looking at our policy, State Farm, and we looked at the statute, and there's five reasons to cancel. Every state has cancellation statutes, and they specifically provide different reasons. Some of them are more vague. Some of them are real specific. State Farm asked the Division of Insurance, if we have a home that is completely abandoned under our current statute, I think Senator Wagner gave the example back in the late 80s where people were just turning over the keys, doors open, heat turned off, utilities off, pipes freezing, can we cancel the insurance in that situation? And under Alaska law as it exists with the Division of Insurance's interpretation, the answer is no. Law does not allow you to do that. That's why we're here. We want to be able to cancel in the most extreme situations. Now, granted, we started with a bill that was much more broad and had discretion, and we believe was consistent with the rest of the country. Senate Labor and Commerce did not like that, and we heard their concerns. We worked very hard to address those, and now we're down to let's at least make sure that if someone truly abandons it, that's what we're talking about, true abandonment, that we can at least cancel the insurance, because if not, we all pay for that. That's why we're here, and that's the problem. So let me go to my notes, and I think some of this has been addressed, but I'll try to be fairly brief. Some of this will go to the letter written by the realtors.
What's the question?
Senator Wagner.
So before you go to your next point, so if you find a property that's abandoned, that you think is abandoned, and you cancel the insurance, you also know who has the mortgage on that piece of property if there is one. So you're required to also notify the holder of the mortgage for that piece of property that the insurance is being canceled?
Senator Wagner, through the chair, right now when you cancel a piece of property, the statute in Alaska requires you to give 30 days of written advance notice to the insured. It does not require you to give notice to the lender. Now, State Farm does give notice to the lender, but because of privacy laws, does not give the reason for the cancellation. There's five other reasons in there, and I'm not an expert on this, but basically I'm told that they will give notice to Bank of America, whoever the lender is, and say this property is the insurance is going to be canceled. So they are given notice, but it's not required under Alaska law, but it is done by at least State Farm. Now, we've discussed this with the realtors, and they've brought up that notification issue, and our response to that is, where are the lenders? Why aren't they here asking for this provision? It's hard to discuss about what sort of notice should be to the lenders in a law when they aren't at the table talking about what they want and what the quid pro quo should be in that regard. I think it speaks volumes that they aren't here and they don't want it. So to answer your question, Senator Wagner, I hope I did, that State Farm does it. They do send it, but it's not required in the law. We think that if that's going to be addressed, that should be addressed in a separate bill at another time. There is a policy level call that's being addressed in this bill, and it is, should insurers be allowed to cancel abandoned property and put downward pressure on the risk pool and the premium we all pay or not? That's one issue. And the question for you and the legislature, I think, is simply this. Do you want to sacrifice that good public policy call for another thing that we may be working on in the next year or two when the stakeholders show some interest in that? If we do not pass this, there will be abandoned property in the risk pool, and it will increase basically the burden, the upward pressure on premiums for all of us. We are not aware of these situations in the realtor's letter. We are not aware of that being a problem anywhere. There may be concerns that someone may look at the statute and say, what about this, and what about this, and what about this, but we have heard nobody come in and testify that their property was wrongly canceled anywhere in that situation. And it is, most importantly, it is our understanding that with the very narrow definition we have here, senators, that none of the situations in the realtor's letter would constitute vacancy or abandonment. It's not abandonment when you try to sell your property. It's not abandonment when you move it. It's abandonment when you entirely abandon it, you're completely gone, and you've left nothing there that can be substantially utilized. You might have a microwave there. That's abandonment, and that's the instance that Senator Wagner was talking about, and that's what we're trying to address, and that's all that is addressed here. I can't speak for the sponsor, but I believe this is their intent as well.
Before we go on, Senator Wagner has a question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I have had your same insurance company you work for. What am I insured? Okay. So my question is this. How many cases each year in Alaska for the last several years have you had where you had to cancel the insurance policy that you had written on that piece of property?
Senator Wagner, the technical answer is zero because we are not allowed to do that under the law. So we have not been able to cancel any property. What I can tell you is, if I have it here, I have it handy, and I can tell you that as far as State Farm's numbers are, I can't speak for the rest of the industry, between 2007 and 2011, there were 369 State Farm policies that were not renewed at the end of the 12-year period because they were abandoned or vacant or unoccupied. Okay, so if you recall right, we can, every 12 months, choose to renew or not renew a policy. And that's the number, 369 over that 4-year period. So there's some out there for State Farm. Is that a large number? No, it's not. But it does. If those are, you know, assuming that we would want to cancel those during midterm, that's the upward pressure on the rates.
I would assume that 369 are more like bungalows as opposed to mansions, though.
I wouldn't assume that, Senator. I don't know. I guess I'm not following that.
If you got a million and a half dollar house, as opposed to a $75,000 trailer house over there that you're being insured, I'm assuming the trailer house is much more open for abandonment as opposed to or for vacancy as opposed to something that's a mansion on the hillside.
Senator, I don't know how to answer that. I think there's a lot of abandoned property.
Senator, give me your portion from your mansion,
because,
please.
Well, I don't live in a mansion. I live in a nice little home in Kenai.
What about Palm Springs?
Well, nice little home in Palm Springs, still.
Very good, Senator Menard.
But
I like that.
But in all reality, I don't think you can have a definite statement that says that, because a lot of the houses that are up in the higher-end brackets are houses that there's been a tremendous amount of reduction in value of. And there are some people that be willing to walk away from that value because they no longer have equity in their house. Yeah. And this includes a lot of double income families who get in over their head with a mortgage they can't afford, and they do walk away from them. And I don't think that happens here in Alaska much, but I can guarantee you, I can show that to you in California, where people are walking away from three-quarters to $1 million to $1.5 million homes. They just pack up and walk out the door.
Nevada, yeah.
Because their equity, they have no equity. And that's why they bought the house, to build up the equity and then flip the house and sell it again. So that does happen.
Mr. Winters, comment?
Okay.
On that last point.
Yeah.
Otherwise, continue with your testimony.
Yeah, I'll just continue, if you don't mind.
Sure.
As far as the language and the definition is, again, we think it's the most specific and narrow in the country. It is really, really hard to get any more narrow or precise without basically rendering the statute meaningless. Entirely abandonment is pretty specific. If you want to go any further, you can go to Webster's, to leave the thing without any protection at all. I mean, that's what we're talking about, and I think it's been clear through the testimony what we're talking about. And it's just hard to get any more difficult without, or narrow without, again, excluding situations that need to be the insurance canceled. So I'll be real brief for about 2 more minutes if I can indulge you, please. The bottom line is the protections. The realtor's letter says there aren't any protections. Well, I have six of them here. First of all, upon discovery of potential abandonment, you can rest assured that almost assuredly the agent will try to contact the insured, determine that status, and work with the insured to maintain coverage. It defies logic that an insurance agent that just sold that policy within the last 12 months is going to say, here's your money back, unless there's a really good reason to do so. So I think we're getting in a strange hypothetical that we've seen no evidence of existing where insurance companies are going to cancel for no reason at all. But even so, this statute, as we are proposing it to be amended, would require an insured to entirely abandon the home. There must be no contents of substantial utility, so you could have the situation that Senator Wagner talked about last hearing where the person actually abandons the home but leaves all their furnishings in there, and we still couldn't cancel the policy. The vacancy must increase the hazard insured against. If, after all that, the insurer still believes the property meets that definition, they have to give 30 days written notice to the insured, which if the insured is anywhere around and doesn't intend to abandon the property, the insured is going to contact your agent and say, I really didn't abandon it, I've been on vacation or something like that, and it would be rectified. Lastly, you have Director Hall and the Division of Insurance, the consumer watchdog, who can fix any problem if it's abused. And I can't overemphasize, we have heard no evidence of abuse of any of these statutes in the lower 48. And I really question whether it could be abused with this narrow definition here. My suggestion is that we do not sacrifice this good public policy law for notification issues and issues that should be addressed later on. And if there is a problem, let's come back and take it off the books. But let's move forward on this. We've been working with the Division of Insurance for 3 years now, and I would really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
With all due respect to Mr. Winters, the Division of Insurance has testified that they're not necessarily in full favor of this law. So how would you, if there's not a reason for it, if there was a reason for it, I'm sure the administration would call it in favor of it.
Senator Olson, with all due respect, I didn't hear the division testify that way. I heard it just exactly the opposite, that it's not an overwhelming sort of issue, but it is something that could be useful.
Sure. So, okay, any more questions by members of the committee? Senator Menard.
I'll just bring this up. You talk about the risk pool, and you acknowledge and respect that many industries, it could be medical industry, we all deal with risk pools. And so things do get lumped. And it's, in a way, the price of doing business. And we all pay if medical people with medical needs have to go in a risk pool, then we end up paying higher premiums too. I mean, it's sad in a way, but it's, are we then to get something on the books that says something that will address these other risk pools as well. So coming from the medical field, I recognize that in the world that we are currently in trying to have a sensitivity to provide insurance to different user groups, if you will, this is in a way part of doing business in the insurance company. The military that Senator Wagner brought up, it is true, they have to leave, they have to go to Afghanistan or whatever, they've got buyers and it's going really good, and then they leave for their tour duty, and then the deal falls through. You don't know that they don't have lined up another person lined up, or that maybe was going to bid on that home and did not get it. It's not like they've got one, two, and three other people that are going. So the possibility, you don't know how engaged they are in their parents or whatever. I just see lots of concerns that I have that have not been answered because there is that long period of time. Deals do fall through, even in good economies. You thought it was a done deal. It was, but then for whatever reason, financing didn't come through as.
Senator Menard, I'll answer, try to answer the last question first. I would suggest to you that under this definition, the military person is not entire abandonment. And I would also suggest to you that if that was a problem, we would have some evidence of it here in this hearing today. There'd be someone who say, my insurance policy was wrongly canceled and I was going to Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. We don't have that. And what I'm told, of course, I'm just can only pass on to you what I hear from State Farm, is that this is not a problem anywhere else in the country. And so it's out there. We have this very limited definition. And I mean,
you mean
it's always
a problem in Alaska only?
Alaska is the only place that we are getting any pushback saying we cannot cancel for entire abandoned property. So that's what we're trying to fix. Let me answer one more question on the risk pool, Senator Menard. The difference with a health insurance risk pool is that your premium and everybody's premium is underwritten with the understanding that some of us are going to get sick and some of us aren't. Some of us are going to have cancer and some of them aren't. The policy and the premium for your standard homeowner's policy is underwritten with the assumption there's going to be somebody there turning the heat on. My risk is different than yours because I may not take as care of my property as well as you. I have more square footage. You may have a fire extinguisher system, that sort of thing. But it's a generally accepted risk, and that's what the premium is based on. It's not based on an abandoned piece of property, and that puts it outside of an acceptable risk. So it's not, it is different than health insurance, where they are assuming people are going to get sick. In our homeowners risk pool, we're not assuming that people are going to leave the property. If we do that, and that's what we're choosing to do, if we do that, you're right, we are going to all pay for that, and that's the policy call you have. That comes down to that, really.
Mm-hmm. And I apologize, I probably picked the wrong analogy. I was just thinking.
That follow-up, Senator Menard? Any more questions for Senator Wagner? The question I do have is, from your perspective, we're at a perspective because we're legislators. You have a perspective that's on the opposite side of some of the realtors or some of the people that have gone ahead and testified today. Why do you think there's so many people that are here that are opposed to the bill?
You want my supposition?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's all. We can't identify because we're not on either side. We're sitting in the middle.
Senator Olson, when we received the realtor's letter, we did reach out to them and meet with them. And frankly, I think that one could look at the language of this bill and come and have the same concerns that they had. We tried to explain to them, and I don't know how we get any more clear, but we are not intending to abandon or cancel property on the military situation or the person selling their house. And I think their concerns are, I mean, they're legitimate, honest, good people. And all we need to do is clarify the intent of this. And we've tried. I think we are today. Mm-hmm. They have not proposed any more definite language of abandonment, and I have really worked hard with some very good professionals in this. I do not believe we can come up with anything more definite without, you know, again, rendering the statute meaningless. But I think they're well-intentioned, and I just think there was some confusion and some concerns that are not backed up by any evidence.
Mm-hmm. And one of the issues that was brought up was if somebody dies and there's an estate going on and the house hasn't been taken care of like was provided in one of the previous examples, how do we protect that person's property or whoever the estate bill is while the estate is getting settled?
Well, I go through all those six protections, Senator Olson. I mean, first of all, you have to be in a situation where the agent doesn't realize that the person's passed away and wants to cancel the policy, makes no contact, there's nobody to contact. Then they have to determine that it's been entirely abandoned, I mean, gone, no heat, all those sorts of things. Sure. And frankly, I mean, if somebody passes away and the windows are open and the doors are open and it's subject to vandalism and I mean, it should be canceled. You know?
Sure. No further question, Mr. Winters. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for your time.
Linda Hall, do you have any last closing comments since you're here from the governing body?
I mean, you don't have to. I'm just asking if you have any closing comments before we hold this bill over. I want to make sure we don't use your name in vain and you have no way to protect yourself.
You won't have much longer to do that.
She loves microphones, Mr. Chairman.
You made me laugh. Linda Hall, Director of the Division of Insurance. I just, a couple things that came up in the testimony, and I do think Mr. Winters was probably correct. I think this definition is the most stringent one in the country, and I'm all right with it. I think that we have the ability to, and I did want to clarify that, I think we have the ability to enforce that knowing the intent, and legislative intent is something we look at frequently as we enforce statutes, we do research, and the testimony that's been given would certainly lead to an intent. But you just ask a question about an estate and about cancellation, and there was an earlier question about cancellations and notice to a lender. And frequently an insurance policy is endorsed to have a loss payee or a mortgagee, and the policy, that endorsement will, not by statute, but by the contract, requires notice to that lender that the policy is being canceled. The estate can well protect itself by changing the name of the insured on a policy to the estate of whoever the deceased is, and that's fairly common practice. So that then the estate is the entity or person who gets the notice of cancellation. So there are other ways to handle some of those issues that would be better for lots of reasons, not just because of this particular piece of legislation cancellation.
Okay. Any further questions of Mr. Hall by members of the committee? No, thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
Any closing comments by the bill sponsor? Okay. We'll hold the bill over. Next Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet on Thursday to consider Senate Bill 223, Senate Bill 225, and the bills previously heard. With that, this committee meeting is adjourned.